name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And You forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended You, and justly deserve Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray You of Your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, Your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join together in the entrance psalm. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me,
You are my Son. Today I have begotten You. Ask of me, and I will make the nations Your heritage,
and the ends of the earth Your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron
and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now, therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear
and rejoice with trembling,
for His wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in Him.
Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day, the baptism of our Lord, is recorded in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us,
and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Our epistle reading is found in the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess to one another and to the world our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary,
and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Be seated.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 1. Let us pray. O Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts might be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Now, what gets you excited with anticipation? Now, I'm talking about the kind of excitement that doesn't let you sleep at night when you go to bed. You probably are used to a ton of examples of this sort of excitement, especially when you were a child. I mean, we just went through the biggest one, and that's Christmas as a child. You couldn't wait, could you? It took forever for that day to get there. Maybe you had excitement as you prepared for your first date, or whenever you got your driver's license for the first time. Maybe you remember how you felt in those moments. The excitement, the anticipation continued into adulthood when you couldn't wait to pop the question to that woman you'd fallen in love with, or you waited for that man to pop that question to you. And so I reflected upon my own question. And I know I was able to come up with a whole slew of things like that too. I thought about my high school graduation, which was such a big disappointment to me, and college graduation, sort of a disappointment, but graduation from the seminary, that was fantastic. My ordination, fantastic. Birth of children. Those are the things that I kind of came up with, you know. But past that, I kind of had a hard time. And it's not because, well, I guess maybe it is. It's because I've gotten older. And there's not a whole lot I haven't experienced anymore. Not a whole lot to get us excited about sometimes. Those words from Ecclesiastes, the ones that say, there's nothing new under the sun, are starting to kind of ring more and more true for me all the time, it seems. And when nothing seems new or fresh in your life, anticipation with eager excitement is not a common thing anymore. So unless you're planning some kind of a tremendous several-week cruise to all sorts of exotic and warm locations, maybe I can offer you something else as an opportunity to regain that kind of excitement and that kind of fresh adventure with something new. But in order to do that, we're going to have to kind of transport ourselves back about 2,000 years to somewhere in Jerusalem. As a person, you're working hard to make ends meet, and you hold in your heart very dearly that recent restoration of your homeland after the Babylonian captivity. It was 400 years earlier, but it's still fresh in your heart as a person. You treasure those words of Malachi 3 that said, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to the temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. You treasure those words because for generations the Lord's words have excited your family with all kinds of anticipation. And then one day the news comes to you, somebody tells you about this man baptizing out in a desert region. He was a man preaching repentance, forgiveness of sins. And as you and your family reflect on that news, you suddenly remember the words spoken by Isaiah. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord." And you then wonder, as you hear what has been taking place in the desert region, you wonder if that is the fulfillment of what Isaiah was talking about so long ago. And after prayer, you try to go to sleep, but it escapes you. The excitement overwhelms you. And then you decide at daybreak, all right, we're going to go down. We're going to check this out. We're going to walk that 25-mile trek to reach the Jordan where this preacher is doing his work. And as daybreak comes, you start to make your journey. You realize you're not the only one going to the Jordan River. Walking in the same direction of this Judean countryside is apparently, it seems like, the entire population of Jerusalem. And your excitement continues to build and fill your heart with joy as you quickly realize maybe this insight of Isaiah the night you had before is being experienced by all these other people as well. The journey's long. Your camel can only manage 2 miles to the gallon, but tired and hungry and quite thirsty, you're going to arrive there, and you're surrounded by this sea of humanity longing to hear what this preacher named John has to say. You wait, and soon this man you had heard talked about by others raises his arms to silence the crowd. The pause is deafening. In that brief moment, you begin to imagine what he might say. Possibly this John will tell you that your hard life is over, or maybe that God is going to bless you with fine things. But you quickly dismiss the idea after you notice this so-called great preacher is wearing nothing but clothing made out of camel's hair. And any of you have heard through the grapevine that he eats locust and wild honey? Suddenly he speaks, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And after you listen to his call for repentance, you and your family find yourselves confessing your sins. All your sins that you could recall are confessed with eagerness because of that greater expectation that you wanted to be baptized. You stood before this baptizer and he speaks to you. He says, "I baptize with the water of repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I. The sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. He will baptize with spirit and fire." And as you walk away, you kind of recall those words again of Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people. Her sins have been paid for." Now, if you can imagine yourself in that story, it's a story founded on the Word of God, then hopefully you can begin to imagine the sort of joyful, eager anticipation that came with talking about God's Word at home as they return, going where you need to go to hear God's words proclaimed, willingly, passionately confessing your sins in anticipation before God, as you expectantly await the coming of your Messiah. That eager anticipation happened to an entire region of people over 2,000 years ago. And that excitement is still alive today. And it's alive right here, right now for us. Today, you and I are on a journey as well. Not a walk on through the desert region or on camelback, but we're on a journey of faith. It began the day when Christ Jesus, our Lord, brought us into his family and continues each day. And sometimes I wonder why we can't have that eager anticipation of how our relationship with Jesus can even increase today. Why don't we always have that kind of passion that those people in Jesus' day who went out to him, made that long trek? Why don't we have that mission or that passion to serve God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength here at home, here at church, or out there in the mission field? We ask ourselves why. And I think at the root of it is simply because we live in a world of sin. Our inborn nature is to do everything contrary to the will of God. That's basically what we confessed earlier this morning. And this sin of ours, along with the devil and our own sinful flesh, would be just happy if we just forgot about any of this anticipation to serve our Lord. If it would just all kind of fade away. Kind of like the
Christmas decorations and the lights. How happy the devil would be if we simply saw nothing new in Jesus Christ, if there was nothing else to motivate us or excite us. If that were the case, the devil says, all the better. It sounds as if through those concerns, maybe the reason we lose sight of the newness, the continuing joy that comes with this relationship of Christ is because maybe our need for repentance kind of suffers. And the sin that so entangles us just completely controls our life. And maybe that's the reason that Mark started off his book of the Bible not with stories of the angels visiting shepherds or the baby Jesus born in a manger. But he begins with a call to repentance, a clear message of excitement in confessing sins. Maybe Mark wanted his readers to never forget the powerful effectiveness of God's Word, that it doesn't reside, it doesn't rest in our surroundings, it doesn't rest in our wealth or our success. I mean, when you think about John, a guy who wore camel's hair and ate locusts, his church was a desert, and a river was his pulpit. He was just one man. He was called by God to call his people to repentance. He apparently didn't have a ton of money, just a call, a passion to serve. He didn't wait until the circumstances were just right. He simply did what God wanted him to do, and he was blessed for that. And even though he felt himself totally unworthy to baptize Jesus, he still served his Lord. He offered no excuses that kept him from serving. Even what he wore and what he ate reminded others of his repentance and the preparation and the sacrifice that can sometimes go with it. John's simple food, his clothing, his way of living reminded those around him what matters most in life. It wasn't a personal indulgence, but the sure and certain hope that comes with knowing and living for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mark summarizes that message of John for us when he says, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We need to think about those words and why so many people responded to them in that day. Now, you and I can be sorry for things that we've done. We can be sorry. We can even be motivated to change our ways, which is a true sign of repentance. And yet, if there was not someone around willing to forgive, no matter how genuine our repentance might be, it's kind of like an old song says, you never really know what you've got until it's gone. That rings true with our loss of this excitement over our relationship with God. It's so easy to basically take God for granted, isn't it? It's easy to forget what he has done. And that's why we need to remind ourselves constantly that God loves us. And in the midst of all troubles, we go on with life, doing whatever we need to do. And sometimes we need to forsake our own feelings and our own purpose. But now imagine if God were to say to us, the window of forgiveness is closing. How quickly then would we run to the Lord with sorrowful hearts, looking for his grace, looking for his mercy? And I think sometimes maybe God's people back in the day of John were eagerly awaiting that window of God's grace to open. I know the disciples had this feeling that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime at that one point after he had left them. Now, they certainly were in the Word. That's how these people that we read of in Mark came to seek out John. Maybe they had been reflecting on the promises of the Messiah, the forgiveness of sins, the passion to be set free. Maybe that passion began to grow and grow in them throughout the years as they waited, as they heard those stories told again and again.
And then when they heard this new story about John and his ministry, they moved quickly in anticipated excitement to receive their baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What a weight must have been lifted from them as they knew that God was providing a means to convey his mercy to them. Does that eagerness ever need to stop? Should our eagerness to repent and receive the mercy of God be anything other than our primary focus in life, of course, next to our worship and service to God? Should not our desire to receive the forgiveness of our sins so excite us that we can't make it through the day without talking to God and listening to his voice? I talked a little earlier about we can own excitement in confessing our sins. Now, let me explain that a little bit. That sounds a little odd to some people. We can own excitement because we know that God himself motivates us in a desire to come to him, to cast aside all the things that are contrary to him. We can have that excitement in knowing that our Father loves us so much that he sent his only Son for us. The fact that Jesus took away all the consequences of our sin. When we stop and think about what we deserve, it moves us all the more to say, Lord, here am I. Take this away from me. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Excite my spirit to serve you with eagerness and anticipation, just like I had when I was a little child awaiting Christmas and the celebration of the birth of your Son. 2 Peter 3 guides us. He says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Those words, make every effort. In other words, it's not easy. It takes some work on our part. Now, we know that repentance is not a work. I don't want to try to get into that and confuse you. But we don't simply say these magic words and I'll automatically receive God's mercy. We know that it took the death of Christ on the cross, his sacrifice to cover all our sins, and that our forgiveness, our repentance, reminds us that we want that mercy. We desire God's will. And so making every effort to be blameless, spotless, at peace with God, that's how we are to live, joyously, willingly, passionately. Living in such a way says, you know, I don't want to be one of those people who take God's grace for granted. It also says, by remaining passionate with joyous anticipation of all things in Christ, he makes my heart and my mind new each day. Okay, so you ask, all right, what does that excitement look like? Are we jumping up and down and rolling in the aisles? No, maybe that takes place for some. It looks like a people who can't wait to worship their Lord. It looks like a people who walked over 25 miles to repent of their sins and receive forgiveness. If you could translate that excitement today, it might look like those shoppers here a week or two ago who were trampling each other in Target to get those Stanley cups and running over each other. That's the kind of excitement looking for that deal. Or maybe it's something a little more mundane that you can relate to. Maybe it looks like driving a homebound member to church or finding ways to serve the poor. Maybe it looks like an eagerness to find a new way to serve God and his people. An eagerness to ask the question, why am I here in this place and what can I do for my Lord? But most importantly, this excitement comes from our refreshed connection to Jesus. Today, we've been reminded of that passion that comes with wanting to confess our sins, wanting to see Jesus, to be restored through him. We were reminded that the baptism that we received in Christ always remains new and always remains a means to receive God's mercy and grace. We're reminded to look upon this gospel reading, a reading we hear practically every year, that it is in the promise of our Savior's birth is indeed something new and something exciting for us even today. So consider yourselves restored by the word. He's excited us in this day once again with the anticipation to confess our sins, which we have already done, to receive His grace and mercy, which we'll receive in a few moments, and then to go out and live for Him in peace and joy. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, You revealed Your Son in the wondrous epiphany in the Jordan. So also You have revealed Your name and blessing to us in holy baptism, declaring us Your beloved heirs. Grant that we may daily die to sin and rise to newness of life, living with joy as Your baptized children. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, bless all places where Your people teach and learn. Guide teachers and students that together we would marvel at Your creation and appreciate the depth of Your wisdom. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, grant that all those baptized into Christ would receive the boldness of Your servant John to lead faithful and pure lives in this world, ever mindful of our promised heavenly inheritance. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty Lord, Your Son, Jesus, is the Christ and the true King of this world. Grant great humility to the rulers of the nations, especially our own and to all those throughout the world, that they would submit to the preaching of His holy word for the sake of our own souls and for the good of Your holy people. Lord, in Your mercy, give comfort and relief to those who are sick, depressed, tired, confused, or in any need, especially Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry and Robert, Mary and Alfred, Cynthia, Cassidy, Raya and Emerson, Carl, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Don and Donna, and Ron, and all others that we name in our hearts. Watch over all expectant mothers and their children, that they may have safe delivery, be brought also to the life-giving waters of holy baptism. Lord, in Your mercy, O Lord, in holy baptism You have opened the heavens to Your children. Grant that all those baptized into Your Son should worthily receive the heavenly feast of His body and blood for their salvation. Lord, in Your mercy, Eternal God, You have made us Your own people by baptism and granted us Your Holy Spirit to confess Christ in word and deed. We remember with thanksgiving those who went before us, who passed the faith on to us, and who now rest in Christ from all their labors. Since we have died with Christ through baptism, grant that we would be raised with Him also. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty Father, as Your Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, You uttered Your word and the world was created. In the waters of holy baptism, You have spoken our names and declared us righteous. You have drawn us to Jesus, the light of life, and saved us. Let His life now shine through us, that others may see our good works and give glory to You. Through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For at his baptism your voice from heaven revealed him as your beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit descended on him, confirmed him to be the Christ. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.